Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our brand new segment, Super Moms, where we celebrate some parents who are faced with some natural and unnatural challenges. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 212. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So let's get right to it. I want to know what's going on with you guys. What's happening in your week? How are those girls? How are you? How's Steve's penis stitches doing? Just tell me everything.
Those are great. I think he's fully recovered. So yay, Steve. Well, it was a big week. Well, a big weekend because it was my birthday.
That's right.
Yes. And we had a family trip planned to Redondo Beach for beach weekend for my birthday.
This is similar to what you did last year for your birthday, am I right?
Yeah, it wasn't for my birthday. I don't think it was around my birthday. This year was specifically on my birthday weekend, and it was the same house. We rented the same exact house because the location's awesome. It's like a block and a half from the beach, a block and a half from like fabulous restaurants. It's just an awesome, awesome location. So we rented the same house and drove the girls down there for 3 nights. And now that the weekend is over, I want you to guess, am I refreshed and relaxed from this vacation? Or am I exhausted, drained, and have a little bit of what the fuck just happened about this weekend?
Here's the thing. That is a trick question because you called it a vacation. And as we have previously established, moms don't get vacations. We get trips, okay?
Yep.
So I'm going to guess this trip drained you a bit.
Yeah, it did. So there were some great moments on this trip, right? I got to be down in Redondo Beach out of my own house. The weather was beautiful. We spent some great time on the beach with my umbrella and, you know, my snacks and all the million things I always bring to the beach. You know, I'm not going to let some random dude stop me with my haul down to the beach. I got to see my mom and stepdad. They were there with us. Aww. And so it was really nice. The whole week, or maybe even 2 weeks leading up to this, I was just like, oh my God, nobody in my family gets sick. Please, 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 please. Like, I don't want this weekend ruined. You know how often everyone in my house is getting sick, especially Cece. And I was just like, oh man, this weekend's going to be ruined with sickness. I just know it. Like, I was so grumpy about it on one hand. And also, I'm like, please, no, 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 no. No one got sick.
What?
Yay! That's not what made the weekend stressful.
You should have bought a lottery ticket. I mean, wow.
I know, right? Luck was on my side. It's just like a series of weird things that unexpectedly caught me off guard. I'll just tell you a couple of the things that went down in Redondo Beach. The first day we got there, we got to the house a little early and we're like, let's go down to the beach first and play and stuff before we check in because it's a late check in. And so Steve and I take the girls down to the beach and we're having a great time. They are just loving it, running around. Cece's gotten super brave about the ocean and the waves. Like, she used to be pretty hesitant about all that stuff. And they're having so much fun. And we're there, I don't know, not even 15, 20 minutes when the girls run towards each other and bonk heads. Like the kind of bonk where you can almost hear it. And it's like, oh my God.
I can feel it. Like, you describing it, like, I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah. It's a gut punch. Cece seems to be fine with this, which is great. Elle, I turn around and she's like, her mouth is agape. And I look in and her top front tooth is bleeding and hanging by a thread from the socket.
Oh my God. Wait, was this an adult tooth or a kid tooth?
Luckily, this was a kid tooth. This was a kid tooth.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Whew.
I know, right?
I thought you were going to have to go with that today I learned where you, you know, put it in, it's, have to shove it back in.
Thank God, no. She feels something crazy in her mouth and she's like, and we look and it's hanging there. And I will say it had been like a tiny bit loose, you know, beforehand, but I definitely did not think that she was going to lose it over the weekend on the Redondo Beach weekend.
Oh, Jesus. Did you have cash on hand for the Tooth Fairy?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't get ahead of myself.
So Steve's like, hold still. She doesn't even know what's happening at this point. She just knows something's weird in her mouth. And he's like, hold on. And he like plucks the tooth out of her mouth and shows it to her. And she's like, and she's crying and bleeding everywhere. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're leaving the beach. And I found some like baby wipes in my bag and like gave it to her to chomp down on to stop the bleeding. And she's funny. She's very dramatic kid. I love that about her. It's also fun. It's just like, oh, such a huge deal about losing her tooth on the beach unexpectedly. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing that happened, right? It's just like, oh, there's an interruption to what we had planned.
Well, and it like heightens all the emotions, right? Like everything's very high stakes all of a sudden.
Yeah, like hurry, hurry. We got to get back to the house. We can like rinse your mouth and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I wasn't prepared to do the Tooth Fairy, right? I literally, as we were packing and heading out of the house from our home, I saw her Tooth Fairy pillow like sitting somewhere. And I was like, oh, maybe I should bring that and like bring my stuff. Like we have Tooth Fairy coins and some cash and stuff like that. Maybe I should bring something so I can have it ready just in case. And then I was like, no, no, no. Her tooth is not even that loose. That there's no way it's coming out this weekend. So I didn't bring it. So I was unprepared.
I feel like, you know, this goes back to the guy criticizing how much shit you have to go to the beach. But it's sort of like the overall, like, anytime I go anywhere with the kids, I think I'm overpacking, right? I'm just like, God, there's so much shit in this fucking backpack. You know, like, I don't need all this crap. But then inevitably the day you're like, I'll just throw a diaper and some wipes in. And I'm going out with Sebastian. He'll have, like, some kind of massive blowout and end up, like, you know, walking back home in the stroller naked or something, right? You know, like, there's so much crap you need to anticipate. And, like, this is a perfect example of, like, I don't need the Tooth Fairy supplies. That's not a problem. I'll pack light. And then you did.
Yep. Yep. So jump forward. We're back at the house. She's recovered. Her gap is feeling better and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we going to do for the Tooth Fairy? Oh, gosh, I don't know. And Elle comes running into the bathroom. She's like, look what Pop Pop just gave me. And she has a fistful of cash, like a 20, three fives, a couple ones. I counted. I'm like, holy shit, $37. I'm like, damn, Pop Pop's like coming in hot with like the reward for the lost tooth. And part of me is like, how is the Tooth Fairy going to compare to $37? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty awesome. And in my mind, I'm like really mad at Pop Pop. And she goes away and I'm like, Mom, like, why did Pop Pop give her so much money for that lost tooth? She's like, that's not for her lost tooth. That's the cash he's paying back for the aquarium ticket. So for some reason, he like, I don't know, she found it or something. And like, she thought it was for her lost tooth. I thought it was for the lost tooth. I was mad at Pop Pop.
So whatever. Funny.
It was a total misunderstanding. So I did have some cash for the Tooth Fairy because Pop Pop was paying us back for the aquarium. So I was like, okay, sweet, a $5 bill. So I was like, oh, I have an idea. Why don't you make a little envelope out of a coloring book page to put your tooth in and blah, blah, blah. So it ended up being fine, right? Like she made an envelope and I put the $5 in and it was all good and everything. But it's just like a funny example of how things don't always go the way you expect them to, especially on these vacations, aka trips. Like with kids, you just have to be ready for the unexpected.
But what a great story. She can be like, I lost my front tooth. She's going to be telling that story as an adult, I guarantee. She'd be like, I lost my front tooth because my sister plowed headfirst into me on the beach and I started bleeding everywhere. Like, that's a story. That's a great story.
It is. It's totally memorable. And I lost my top tooth when I was 6 years old in a somewhat dramatic way. And it stuck with me. And I tell that story. So now she has a story to share, too.
There you go. Yep. I just let mine all hang in my mouth until they were like barely connected by a thread. And my mom was desperate to rip them out of my mouth. And I was terrified. And it was probably really gross.
Oh, yeah. Losing teeth is gross.
It's gross. Okay.
Yeah. It's not fun.
Like, we're also like used to it. Like, it's so normalized. But like, our fucking teeth
get loose and wiggly, and then they either fall out or we pull them out or they get knocked out by your sister's noggin on the beach. Like, and we're all like, yeah, that's just how we roll as humans. Or we got teeth and then they fall out. And it's like, what? So yep. Weird. So weird.
Just the way it is. Yeah.
So the drama of the lost tooth made it less restful than you had hoped. What else happened? It sounds like there's more to this story.
Yes, there were several things that happened, and I don't want to just sit here and like provide a laundry list of like unexpected things that stressed me out. So I'll just give a couple bullet points and then expand on one thing. Okay. So on my birthday night, we got an alert that the alarm at our house was going off because a door was opened.
Your house, your home house, the one that you were 2 hours away from. Yeah.
Yeah, at like 10 p.m. Great. And the police were dispatched and Steve was dealing with it. I know. And he's like, should I go up there and check? The police haven't come yet. I'm like, no, please don't go up there. So that was stressful. The day we were supposed to go home, like literally 1 minute before our checkout time of the Airbnb, our car died. Like our brand new electric car died, and it took hours to deal with. So that was a whole thing. But really, I think what really stressed me out was my actual birthday. We had plans to go to the Aquarium of the Pacific, the aquarium down in Long Beach, and I was really excited about that. And man, I was not prepared, and Cece was having a day, and it was just, it was a lot. She was in a real mommy phase. She was super clingy, super whiny. I didn't bring a stroller. Like, we didn't have room to, like, pack a stroller down to Redondo Beach, so I didn't think of bringing something with wheels that I could plop her into and just, like, drag her around this place. Mm-hmm. So I had to carry her everywhere. After a half an hour, she was like, I'm bored.
Oh, like, come on. That place is so cool.
Oh, my God. So I didn't really get to enjoy the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And the girls were really on fire with their relationship. Bickering, fighting, whining, crying. And it was just not fun to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me like cancel our dinner plans. We were supposed to have dinner plans as a family. And I was like, forget it.
Yeah.
Me and Steve are going out by ourselves. And just, I don't know, just the kid stuff and the whining.
But I mean, there's a silver lining there because you kind of got a date night out of it. Right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, we had a date night the night before, too, like an intended date night. So we actually got two, right? Two in a row. It was nice. Yeah. We went to Joe's Crab Shack. I love crab legs. It's one of my favorite foods. So I got to like have my favorite food and a beer on my birthday. So that was nice.
It's the little things. Look, I get it. Like when the kids are in a mood, it's almost like, you know, that stereotype of like, I'm going to turn this car around if you don't start behaving, that sort of thing. Like, I 100% get that because it's just like, fuck it. Like, it's not even worth trying because they're not in a space where they're even going to be able to like calm down or enjoy things. It's like maybe when they're a little older, like I think maybe Elle is a different story, but I totally understand Cece at like three and a half being like, there's no reasoning. There's no getting through to their logical brain when they're in that like dysregulated state and like tired and grumpy already. And it's just like, why force this on everyone and have everyone be in a bad mood, you know? Especially, oh my God, dinners at restaurants, like Corey and I have sworn off of them for a while. Because with two kids, it's just like, you don't get to enjoy it. You're just bouncing around trying to like tend to their random requests, trying to make sure both of their iPads and phones are playing the right things at this point. Like, because, you know, we've become those people because you can't just like sit and have a quiet meal without some screen time these days. Anyway, I'm sure there are people out there who have figured it out, but I have not. So I get it. I'm sorry that you didn't get a restful, rejuvenating birthday weekend. It sounds like we need to have a do-over and do something just us.
Yeah, I think so. I would really love to celebrate with my girlfriends and do something. Definitely, like, by the end of this trip, I was like, oh my God, I need to organize, like, a rage room birthday event with my girlfriends and go smash some cars. So maybe we'll do something like that.
Okay. Well, you know where to find me, so let me know. Okay. And if you need help planning, just let me know.
All right. Thank you. Sounds good. What about you? Hopefully you've had a more restful week or weekend than I have. What's going on with you guys?
Well, actually, that's funny you intro it this way, because my check-in this week is all about rest or Ooh. Lack of it. As you know, I've had this ongoing saga of a check-in. Like, every week, it's the same shit, especially with Augie, where it's like, he's not sleeping well. He's scared of things. We can't, like, get him to go to bed before 9:30, and, like, everything's terrible.
Right.
And he's waking up in the middle of the night, and we don't know what to do. And I think you gave me homework, which was like, you have to watch that Dr. Becky sleep course that you bought weeks,
yes.
months ago. Well, I'm happy to report that we finally, finally both sat down and watched the Dr. Becky sleep course.
Ooh, okay. Report, discuss.
Okay, so the course is called Independent Sleep Workshop, A Feel-Good Approach. It's $54. And Shauna, not to, like, get too far ahead in this story, but it might be the best $54 I've ever spent in my entire life.
Ooh. Okay, that sounds promising.
So all it is like a 75-minute recording of her doing a Zoom presentation to, like, a group of people about sleep. And at first I was a little bit like, man, this is what I paid $54 for. You know, like, what? But I have to say, watching it with Corey was key, because we both were, like, taking notes and on the same page.
Okay.
And it's actually funny. I had already, like, listened to the first half hour when I was, like, puttering around. And I had told Corey, like, here's the link. You watch the first 30 minutes and then we'll, like, start watching the rest of it together.
Okay.
And he had done that. And we were, like, planning on watching the rest of it, like, after the epic bedtime that night. And Corey was doing Augie's bedtime that particular night, and I was doing Sebastian's. And it was one of those things where, like, Sebastian goes down super easy, but Augie was taking forever. And so I was, like, fully expecting, after I was done with Sebastian, to, like, walk out and have, like, an hour to myself while Corey was stuck in the room with him and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk out of Sebastian's room after putting him down, and I'm like, where's the monitor? And I go downstairs, and Corey's watching TV, watching the monitor. And I was like, what happened? Why are you down here?
Yeah.
And even though he had only watched the first 30 minutes, he's like, you know what? I just decided we had to be confident. We had to, like, do it. And I just told him, we're doing 3 books, we're doing 2 songs, and then we're going to bed. And he didn't like it. And I'm checking in on him in a couple of minutes, but that's what's going on. He's just now in his room looking at his books. Like, what?
Wow. No screaming, crying, protesting?
He protested a fair amount, but no screaming and crying, because Corey, I don't know, he just was very authoritative about it. Like, very much, not like mean, just like, this is what's happening. And I have to say, like, I was a little irritated at first, because I was like, I've been trying to get you to watch this video for weeks, and now you, like, watch the first half hour and you're like, solve the problem. But to be fair, like, it was definitely not a, like, totally solved issue that first night. Like, Corey had become confident and taken the reins, but we definitely needed to finish watching the course and, like, implement some more strategies before calling it solved. But I have to say that it was, like, honestly, there was just a lot of really good tools. And, like, one of her main takeaways is, like, you have to be the confident, like, pilot of the plane. I think this is a thing she talks about a lot, right? Is,
yes.
Like, if you're on a plane and there's turbulence, you don't want the pilot to come on and sound nervous, right? Because then you'll be nervous. And you also don't want a pilot to come on and be like, there's not turbulence. Stop being worried about the turbulence. You want a pilot who's like, yeah, you know, we've noticed some turbulence. It's everything's totally safe, and we'll be getting you through it soon. And
Right. That,
like, metaphor really clicked, I think, with Corey and with me. And just be like, okay, we know you want more books, but we do 3 books. Like, that's it, right? And so we've been implementing these strategies all week. And by, like, night 3, he had really stopped protesting and being upset. And by night 4, he's, like, putting himself to bed now. He's not needing a bunch of check-ins. And he's sleeping through the night, Shauna.
Wow. That's awesome. What time is he going to bed?
Like 7:30.
Wow. And is he still napping at school?
He is. He is.
Wow.
It's like, I think he was so sleep deprived. Like, I think he was so exhausted.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, it worked so well. It feels like witchcraft, you know? Like, what? Like, all this time we've been struggling and all we had to do was, like, be kind of confident and have boundaries. And, you know, there are a couple more strategies. I don't want to give them all away because it's obviously, like, her proprietary intellectual property. But, but yeah, I should just say that it's fairly simple, but it's really just, like, a mindset change. And it's, like, no crying out. Like, it's none of this, like, you got to leave. And even if they're screaming, you got to leave for 5 minutes. It's none of that. It's like all a very like intuitive approach and no one's getting abandoned. But it's a really great approach, I feel like, for like three and up. I feel like there's so much sleep stuff focused on like ages two and under.
Yes.
But like you're left abandoned after that age, right? Like, because sleep training doesn't work for this age. They're too smart. They're too verbal. They're too, like, everything, you know? You can't just, like, leave them to scream their heads off till they fall asleep. So 5 stars, highly recommend. I'll be talking a little bit more about it in the final segment, but...
I have a question about
it. Yeah.
So my sleep troubles with Cece are not going to bed, right? She goes to bed fine. But it's waking up in the middle of the night and coming to get me and wanting me to come put her back to bed, snuggle with her, comfort her back to sleep, or waking up at like 5 a.m. and wanting me to do that until wake up time, right? Do you think the course would help me with that kind of sleep issue?
Yes, because first of all, we were having those issues, if you recall, like he was waking up at 2 a.m. almost every night and needing one of us to like sleep next to him. Her course is like she does bedtime techniques, middle of the night techniques, and then like techniques to do during the day to like set the stage for everything. She specifically addresses middle of the night stuff. Definitely recommend for that.
I really need that because, yeah, I am definitely not the calm pilot of the plane when those things happen. I'm so scared of her meltdowns in the middle of the night. I'm just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, totally.
I'll do what you want. Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I also had a revelation this week when we like finally got his sleep stuff sorted out, at least for now. I shouldn't say finally because, like, you know, it's constantly changing, but for now it's good, right? In that, like, I don't think I properly acknowledged how much the renovation was stressing him out. Or at least our reaction to the renovation. Like, Corey and I had been so stressed out and just frazzled and pulled in a million directions. And everything was, like, literally uprooted, right? Like, for a couple of days we were out of the house. And then we come back and the house is, like, torn to bits. And it didn't, like... I don't think I gave enough credit to his little brain to understand that that is like psychologically stressful for him, too, you know? And now that it's over, I think we had a chance to sort of get back into a routine and we just needed a reset. So I kind of realized that I wasn't giving enough space for him for that, you know? But anyway, so that's the good news. Real quick, the bad news on the sleep front is that Sebastian is just like still waking up every fucking 2 hours like a newborn. And he's getting 3 molars at once. Okay.
Ouch.
He's entered a freaking leap, apparently, according to Wonder Weeks. And his crying, when he wakes up crying, bothers Augie. So, like, I've just decided, okay, we're focusing on one kid at a time right now. So, like, if Sebastian is crying, I'm just going in and, like, nursing him and, like, holding him to sleep for now. Because we want to get Augie, like, comfortable and happy. And, like, it stresses me out to hear him screaming, to hear Sebastian screaming, you know, in the middle of the night. Like, that can't help Augie feel comfortable and safe in his room, right? If your brother's screaming bloody murder. So... that's what we're doing. We're going to get Augie on track and then focus on Sebastian. So Augie's sleeping. I'm not, but we're getting there.
You're on the right track. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for my check-in. Shall we move on to our special segment?
All right. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week we have a brand new special segment that I'm very excited about. We're calling it Super Moms, where we report on and discuss the amazing achievements of other moms out there in the world that we know or have read about or come across in the news, because there are some moms out there doing some pretty remarkable things, and we think they're worth discussing. Laura, you are up first. What is your first Super Mom?
Okay, so my first super mom is someone named Brianna Hill. I first learned about her actually a while back. She was featured in the New York Times all the way back in October 2020 because this amazing mom gave birth right in the middle of a bar exam.
What?
Yeah. All right, so back to 2020. This is like, you know, pandemic times. No one has vaccines yet. This is October 2020, right? So it's like, you remember what that time is like. It's very scary. No one has vaccines. Everyone's sort of doing everything remotely. And I guess the Illinois bar exam was being held remotely, and they had to figure out all these like ways to do it where it's like cheating proof, right? Like,
oh, right.
I don't know if you probably took the GRE, right? The graduate.
Yeah.
I remember back when we took the GRE, you know, 5 million years ago, they had all these precautions in place. Like you had to like leave everything in a locker, and you couldn't like leave your little computer, assigned computer spot, and they sign you in and out and all this stuff to make sure you're not cheating, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess technology has, you know, improved in the last number of years since we were in grad school. And in order to get it to like work remotely, they had to like implement facial recognition technology and stuff. And like they weren't allowed to like move out of the screen of their like, you know, video window.
Oh,
they weren't
okay.
Like they weren't allowed to get up and like walk even like to the other room, right? Because like if they did that, they could be cheating or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So they like had to stay seated within this frame during the actual like proctored part of the test, right? And it was like four parts, I think, to be done over multiple days. Okay, so this woman, Brianna Hill, she was very pregnant. She was due October 19th, 2020. And she was originally supposed to take the test in July, but because of all the pandemic stuff, it got pushed to October. And she was taking the exam on October 5th. So, you know, about like a week and a half before her due date. And when she said she felt something pop.
Oh, no.
And she said, I was like, that would be really inconvenient if my water just broke.
So she's at home at this point, right?
She's at home, but she's not allowed to move from her computer. And she that if she had gotten up from her computer and walked away from the screen, it would have broken the exam rules about cheating and automatically disqualified her. And she had been studying for this test for months, like 4 months of like intense studying. But like, you know, you go to law school for years before that.
Right.
And so apparently she called her midwife and asked if it would be safe for her to continue taking the test.
Wow.
And I guess during like the next break, she was able to get up and get a bunch of towels and sit on them to finish writing the multiple essays that she had to write while she was having contractions.
What?
So she said she didn't consider asking for an exemption for being in labor because she said if she had been disqualified, the next test wouldn't be till February. And it's like, you know, I totally get it. You're like, in February, I'm going to, you know, be neck deep in baby stuff. Like, I want to get this test done now.
Yeah. Was this her first baby?
This appears to be her first baby. Yeah.
Okay.
So then it says, once she completed the first day of her test, her husband rushed her to the West Suburban Hospital in Oak Park, Illinois, where she gave birth to a 6-pound, 15-ounce baby boy. The next day, she took the second part of the bar exam from a room in a hospital.
What?
Despite suffering from anemia and operating on very little sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. The staff set up a table attached to a hospital bed so she could complete the final two sections of the exam. In between the two sections, she nursed Cassius. She named her son Cassius, which is a cute name. I like that name.
Yeah.
But I'm here to report. I had to like dig through the internet to find this follow-up article because the New York Times article was like, she won't know for 2 months if she passed. It was like, this is not acceptable.
No. Did she pass? Did she pass?
She passed. She passed.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What a super mom.
Seriously.
That is amazing. When my water broke, I was a mess. I was like shaking from head to toe with like nervousness. It was like almost not even mental, just uncontrollable. Just like, I can't even imagine doing that under those circumstances. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like she shouldn't have been forced to. Like, let's talk about having some medical exemptions here and finding some accommodations. But that said, like, her grit and her determination, like, if she doesn't get hired by every law firm she applies to, right? You know, like, come on. This woman is amazing. So hats off to Brianna Hill.
Good job.
You are a super mom.
Super mom in our book. You deserve an award.
Absolutely. All right. So how about you? Do you have a super mom to share with us?
I do. This is another birth story.
I love these.
Yes. This involves a Kentucky mom named Heather Scatz. She was about 3 weeks away from her due date, and she got in the car to run, or probably SUV, to run errands with her five other children, ages 13, 11, 6, 3, and 2. So when she got in the car, she was feeling some light contractions, but she'd had lots of births before and knew that when this particular feeling was coming on, she would have a baby in her arms in maybe 8 to 10 hours. And she had a home birth planned, like a home water birth planned. I don't know exactly what she was doing, running errands with five kids when she was feeling contractions. I don't know what the errand was, but they were out and about. And she started feeling this. And they started getting stronger and stronger. So she started to drive home so she could make it there to do her home water birth.
Mm-hmm.
But the contractions started getting so strong, she knew she couldn't wait. So what she did is she pulled the vehicle over to the side of the road, got out of the car, squatted down in the grass as her water broke. And like seconds later, she felt the baby's head come out. And she delivered her own baby on the side of the road while her five other children sat in the car and waited.
Meanwhile, I'm like, it's too hard to go to a restaurant with two kids.
Yeah, right. That really puts things into perspective.
Jesus. That's amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. She's like, you know, I've had a lot of kids and she's done home birth. So she felt like she trusted her body and that's what helped her do this. I'm like, yeah, I think so. Like, if that would have happened to me, I would have been like screaming, flagging down any vehicle that drove past. But no, she just like calmly gave birth. She's like, we had to pick the grass off of him. It was
so funny.
But so, okay, anyway, so the baby was still attached to her.
Yeah.
You know, via the umbilical cord. And so she got back in the car and held the baby close to her body and drove home with the five
Come
other kids.
On.
And the baby attached to her body, I assume they weren't very far from home, got home, called the midwife, and delivered her placenta in the shower with the help of her 13-year-old daughter, like while the daughter had the baby. Yeah. So pretty
That's
amazing.
Intense. Yeah. And like just to have the wherewithal to be like, well, guess I got to get in this car and drive these kids home.
Yeah.
And were they like in a cell service dead area is my question? Because I would have just been immediately like, oh, someone's coming to get me. This is I'm done. I've done the work for today. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's no more to be done here. No, she seems like a very practical, let's do it kind of person. Obviously, she's got a lot of kids. You know, she's got horses in her Facebook post about it. She's like, I was literally just out in the barn feeding horses 20 minutes before he came out. It was that fast. So within the hour, she was feeding horses, doing errands with her five kids, having a baby. Just, you know, just a day.
It's just a day.
Yeah.
And then she passed the bar exam.
Wouldn't that be crazy if this was the same lady? Oh,
wow. I mean, that is amazing. I feel like I don't want it to sound like we're just like gawking at this story because it like I am in total awe of this woman. First of all, like I was already in awe when you're like, she had her five kids in the car with her and she was pregnant and she's running errands. I'm like, wait, what?
I know, right?
That seems hard. And then it's like, oh, and then she just pulled over, popped a squat, delivered a baby, and then drove the rest of the way home. It's like, wow. Amazing.
It's so incredible.
If anyone ever tells you like women aren't strong, please refer back to this.
Yes. Heather Skatz proves that women are strong. Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Well, you get a Supermom Gold Star from us.
Yeah. The highest honor. The BFP Supermom Gold Star. Okay. Yeah. Do you have another Supermom for us?
I do. Okay. So this next Supermom, her name is Marquetta Daly, D-A-L-E-Y. And I learned about her from the LAist website. And the title of the article that caught my eye was Hiking the Entire Pacific Crest Trail with Toddlers. No, seriously.
What? Wow.
This family. And to be fair, you know, I think she gets the super mom title, but she also can share it with her super dad. Her husband, David, and her are hiking 2,650 miles with three kids under the age of six.
Oh, my God. My kid could not even handle walking around the aquarium for 30 minutes. How did she do this?
The other day, Augie asked me to carry him from the couch to his chair because it was too far. So he could have a snack.
Our kids wouldn't make it. No. They're not built
for it. No. Okay, so their kids are Sequoia, aged 5, Joshua, aged 3, and Standa, aged 2. Mm-hmm. So I guess they put the youngest in a carrier most of the time.
Okay.
But as previously mentioned, our 3-year-olds do not have the stamina to even do the most basic of things without. Yes. Or it's, you know what, it's not stamina. I know it's not stamina because they will run circles around them, like everyone, if they have motivation. But like, right. If there's not sufficient motivation, it's not there. Mm-hmm. But they are doing the entire Pacific Crest Trail with these kids. And like, my first feeling, well, okay, the very first feeling was like, oh, fuck no. Like, I couldn't, you know, there's a lot of reasons I could never do that. And then it was quickly followed by, like, jealousy in a way, you know, like this feeling of like, wow, to be able to, like, be in nature and actually feel comfortable enough that you can do that and bring your kids along and, like, have that experience, like, sounds so awesome in a lot of ways, you know?
Absolutely. What incredible memories to create with your family. Like the little ones won't really remember, but you know, your older one will. Obviously, the parents are going to remember that. It's like, it reminds me of when parents try to squeeze in trips and experiences before the kids start kindergarten, right? Because you can't really take a lot of time off when your kids actually formally start school. So it's like this family was like, oh my God, quick, before the kid starts kindergarten, we got to hike the Pacific Coast Trail. Let's go. And like trying to do that. And that's just, I'm jealous. I'm truly jealous that I didn't do something as cool as that.
I will say, like, I am not built for this. Like, I have camped and hiked a lot in my life. And I enjoy it when I'm there. I enjoy when I'm done. But like, I can't do more than a couple days in a tent. Like, I start, it's not that I'm like super high maintenance or like it's the cleanliness thing. It's just like I crave the comforts of the world, like technology and my bed. And, you know, I like sleeping in climate controlled rooms. But looking at their Instagram, they're sharing their everything on Instagram under the username Daily Walk, D-A-L-E-Y, because that's their last name, Daily Walk.
Oh, cool.
And actually, I'm going to pull it up and see where they are right now. Let's see. So their most recent update has them on day 98, and they walked 10.1 miles.
Wow.
I mean, these pictures are just spectacular. They're walking through snow, apparently, in June. I mean, I guess they're in the High Sierras, so that makes sense. Just,
oh my gosh,
gorgeous vistas.
They're such a cute family. I love it. What an adventure.
Yeah, so
I love this family. Oh my gosh. I want to be them.
I know. I think they're amazing. I don't think it's anything I could ever do, but I think that's why they're a super mom, right? They're super family because they're doing stuff that not everyone would do and doing it well. So
absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to following along on their trip and living vicariously through them. So
me too.
There we go.
I have followed their account.
All right. Do you have another super mom for us?
I do, but shall we do it after the break?
I think we should.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and Shauna has one more super mom to share with us. Shauna, can't wait to hear. Tell me, who is your super mom?
My super mom is Kate Oakley from British Columbia. Now, this one is not as intense as the others, but I love it. Okay, so Kate is a new mom. She's got her little baby daughter, Willow, and she's nursing her in the house. She's wearing just her underwear and nothing else, nursing her baby. When all of a sudden she hears some ruckus outside, and she picks up her baby Willow and goes to look outside and notices that her pet goose is being attacked by a bald eagle. And without hesitation, she rushes outside in her undies, half naked, with her baby attached to her boob to chase off the bald eagle so that she can save her pet goose. And this was caught on their doorbell camera and posted to everywhere, I'm sure, TikTok.
Yes, I saw this. When you said she only had underwear on, I was like, oh, I think I know where this is going, because I definitely saw this on TikTok. She is a complete badass. First of all, you could have ended it at, like, she had a pet goose. I was like, cool, mm-hmm. super mom right there, right? Like, pet goose, that's a badass thing to have. Like,
absolutely.
We've got boring ass cats, right? Like, mm-hmm. goose, though, that's a solid pet. But then, yeah, when you get to see her run outside to defend her pet goose, I believe while her daughter is still latched, right?
Like, yes, the baby yeah. is still latched. She's feeding her child while saving her pet goose from a predator. Gold star.
Did you say this was in British Columbia?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a federal offense to chase after a bald eagle. Or maybe it is there. I don't know.
Hold up. You can't chase a bald eagle in the United States?
Well, I mean, you can't, like, hurt one. But, like, I guess you could shoo one away with your flapping boobs and flapping arms easily. But... And she successfully saved her goose.
Yeah, she did.
While never losing a latch.
Yes. Listeners, if you haven't seen this video yet, you got to check it out. It's so great. Her handle is The Real Mama Goose on TikTok, and you can find it. She's chasing after that bald eagle, almost butt naked with her baby on her boob, and it's amazing.
Yes, super mom, you saved your goose and you earned a gold star from us.
That's right.
All right. Well, it sounds like that is it for a brand new segment. Yes?
Yes. That was fun. I like applauding and celebrating other moms. This is great.
Me too. We'll have to do it again soon. But in the meantime, shall we move on to our BFPs and BFNs for the week?
All right. Let's do it.
Okay, so we close every episode with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. And Shauna, I need to know, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. So you know I love my Trader Joe's, and I've yes. had some big fat positives before from stuff I found at Trader Joe's. Well, they've got two new products that I love so much and the girls love that I have to tell you about.
Okay, tell me.
The first are teeny tiny cukes. That's the name of the product. And they're miniature cucumbers. They're like the size of your pinky finger.
Okay.
They're so tiny and cute. Like the size of maybe bigger than what you would make like a cornichon out of.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really small, but I've never seen like actual raw cucumbers that mm-hmm. small before. And so immediately I'm like, oh my God, I have to get these for my girls because they're just so cute and novel. And I love them. And the girls love them too, of course. It's like, yay, tiny cucumbers.
So it's the cucumber equivalent of baby corn, sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. So they like their baby corn. They like their baby cukes. And the other product is called Sprinkles. That's what it is. And it's teeny tiny tomatoes. So it's like little cherry tomatoes, but even smaller, like the size of a small marble or maybe even smaller than a marble. Like they're really small and they come in this tiny little container and they're adorable. And I don't know, sometimes you just have to do something different and novel to get your kids excited about eating things like vegetables. And they love it. And I love it. And it's fun.
All right. I'm going to have to give it a try. I mean, I've kind of lost hope with Augie and vegetables at the moment. Like, I figure that's many years down the road at this point. But I still try. And so maybe he'll like the little teeny tiny cukes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. The other day I served him like a plate of baby corn, baby cukes, baby tomatoes. It's just like, here's a baby meal for you. And yeah. So that's all. That's mine. So look for those near Trader Joe's, or they might sell that kind of thing at other grocery stores too. I don't know. So look out for it.
I'm going to. If not for him, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. It's just like pop them in your mouth, eat them like little snacks. It's perfect. What do you got for us?
Okay. I also have a BFP.
Okay.
And mine is related to the Dr. Becky sleep course that we did. I just wanted to talk about this one specific thing she recommended in the course. And I feel like I'm not like violating her intellectual property by talking about this because she's also like talked about it in other venues. Like it was mentioned in a Time magazine article and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And what it is it's a, she calls it a sleep button. But what it is it looks like, you know, if you're in America and watch TV and no commercials, the Staples, like that was easy button.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Big red button.
Yeah, it's a big round red button you press and it like says, that was easy. Well, it's like that, but you can record whatever you want onto it for like 30 seconds. And so Dr. Becky recommends that you record reassuring like stuff for your kid on it. So like, for example, we just did exactly what she said, which is we recorded me singing a little bit of a song, Corey and I both saying like, you're safe and we love you. And then she has this whole thing about creating a mantra, which I won't go into, but like we recorded his mantra, his like safe mantra. Okay. And it takes 30 seconds. So you kind of, it took us a couple takes before we got it like packed into the 30 seconds. But we waffled about getting it for him because he had already started like doing really well. Like we had started implementing the other techniques that she had talked about. And we were like, I don't know if we need the button. But I just had a feeling that Augie would really like the button and really like to hear our voices, you know, whenever he wanted. So I ordered one from Amazon. They're like $11 or something when we ordered it. And it came the next day and we recorded it and I gave it to Augie at bedtime. And when I played it for him, when I showed him how to do it, his face just lit up. It was the sweetest thing. He heard me singing on it and he like looked at me and then looked at the button. He was like, you know, processing that it was me. And then he like heard Corey say like, we love you. And like we did the mantra and everything. And he just like had the biggest just like grin and just like you could tell he felt calm. And he must have pressed that thing like 100 times going to bed that night.
That's so cute. He was
obsessed. But it made me feel really good to know that he had that and it helped him feel safe. And, you know, we were doing our bedtime routine with him and he would just lean over and press the button and then just look at me and smile, you know. And it just, it was so cute and so sweet. And so I wanted to mention it because if people are, you know, looking for a quick fix or even just something like you're going away on a business trip or something and you want to like leave a message for your kid. It's super simple. You know, it's just a button. There's no like devices. You're not leaving a message on an iPad that they have to find the video. You know, it's just you press the button, you get the message. So highly recommend getting one of those. And apparently, Dr. Becky, like the whole reason she's like an Instagram, you know, phenomenon is because she originally wanted to develop like her own branded version of this sleep button. Like that was her original business model. She wanted to like create this button. And then she was like, this isn't going to work, probably because she realized there were like $11 versions on Amazon and she didn't need a special one. So she pivoted to just giving advice on like Instagram. But this was sort of her big idea.
Oh, and thank goodness she did.
I know, right? But yeah, so the Dr. Becky sleep button, if you go to like her website, you can find a link for it. And we'll try to find a link and put it in the show notes, too. But
cool. I love that idea. Yeah. I'm going to do that for Cece. And then, of course, Elle will want one, too. And then Elle will probably figure out how to do her own recordings on it. And
I was going to say the only thing that we learned after the first night was that you need to tape the like little switch in the back that like, you know, there's like a little toggle that's like on, off or record.
Right.
And very quickly, Augie thought he was like turning it off, but accidentally recorded. And he was like, it's gone. It's gone. And he was really upset. So make sure you tape that down in the back so that they don't accidentally record over. But yeah, that's my BFP for the week.
That's awesome. I love it. And I think that's our show.
I think it is. But I think before we go, you have a 5-star review for us.
I do. This is from Meg on Apple Podcasts. The review is titled Best Podcast for First Time Moms. 5 stars. I didn't know any pregnant women while I was pregnant, and this podcast was perfect. It was super relatable. I learned a lot, and the women are funny and pleasant. It made me feel less alone in my journey. Highly recommend.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you so much, Meg. And listeners, if you haven't done so yet, will you do us a favor and head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star review mentioning what you like about the show? We appreciate that so much. We are really grateful for you taking the time to do that for us. And if you have any stories about supermoms, you know we would love to hear them. So, Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. We love those. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join and make sure you answer those two membership questions so we know you're not a robot. Once you do that, you'll get sent straight through to the amazing, amazing, wonderful conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.